Iniesta, Messi.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joe on the phone. Fred couldn't make it. Logan couldn't make it. So we're just going to be discussing the past week in the EPL, the Serie A, Champions League started this week, and Europa League started this week as well. I'm going to talk about a little bit of an issue I have with streaming services in Canada, trying to watch soccer. And we'll also touch a little bit upon the TFC. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com, football spelled FUTBOLweekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on Twitter at @football_weekly. You can subscribe on Instagram, @football_weekly_podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, we're on Spotify and iHeartRadio. We're on Google Podcasts as well. So there's a number of different podcatchers and a number of different ways you can listen to our podcast. You can listen directly from our website as well if you don't want to download anything or if you don't have any of those streaming services. So guys, lots to talk about. Let's get in it. So sit back, relax, get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
I'm Austin Ricci from York 9 FC, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast brought to you by FTF.
Joe, we're getting to the fun time in the football season. EPL's in full swing, Serie A's in full swing, Champions League started this week, Europa League started this week. It's all happening, Joe.
Yeah, there's already a lot to talk about. A lot of teams already in trouble. After 1 week, you could say, in Champions League, because you suffer defeat, and your next match becomes crucial already for qualification.
Yeah, it becomes a must win, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I would like to start, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it, and that's this one soccer. And I know I threw this I know I threw this at you. You
don't apparently you don't know they had a problem with the stream actually too. Apparently the stream went down during the game.
Well, I wouldn't know because I don't subscribe. It's another subscription-based thing that I'm not going to pay for. And if this is where Canada wants to put major soccer games that involve Canadian teams, then I'm not going to watch them. Simple as that.
There's just too many streaming services, Reggie. That's the problem for me. I mean,
well, if you're going to put everything in one spot and have everything in one place, it's different. But now I got to pay for this. I got to pay for Netflix. I got to pay for DAZN. I got to pay for this other one over here, NFL. I got to pay for, and it's too much now.
I think that's where we're going, but it would be better if it was like for a sport. It would be at least in one spot.
Well, all the soccer's in one spot, and it's going to show 1,000 games a week, whatever it is, right?
Yeah. But like now we don't know where it's coming from or when it's going to be. And then, you know, if you are a subscriber, and I fall into these traps, which I am, but why? Like, you got to fix your stream. I mean, apparently I wasn't watching the game live. I was following it on Twitter. But, you know, TFC and Montreal and Impact and the Canadian Championship game, apparently the stream went down for a bit, like, and it's not the first time it's happened in one soccer. Like, it's that's pretty frustrating.
It's got to be A1 quality HD, and the stream has to be steady and stable. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, TFC Toronto FC is playing the Montreal Impact in the Canadian Championship final.
First leg
of the finals in Montreal. So people in, it's a weeknight, it's a work week, just like people say, it's a school night, so most people aren't going to make it down to Montreal to watch the game, so you're hoping that it'll be on TV. But again, just like the Canadian national team game against Cuba, it's on a subscription-based platform, and sorry, but I'm not paying. So again, if this is where they want to put all these types of games, then I'm not going to see them, so... Up to you, up to them.
Frustrating.
TSN was showing the Braves and the Cincinnati Reds. I think they were playing baseball on two of the
big
channels.
Game.
So I mean, if you can't get TSN to show this game, then I don't know what to tell you. Canadian Sports
Network. It was disappointing. Like, it was really, you know.
It is. It is. And we'll talk about all these different streaming platforms in a later show, but it's getting too much. But anyways, let's get on to the football. EPL passed this week, and I know everyone's, I've been reading all the remarks about Arsenal Watford. I've been getting texts from everybody about Arsenal Watford, and I see it as a, people say, oh, the defense, I don't see it as a defensive issue. I see it as a problem in the midfield. And I don't know if you watched the game, Joe.
I did not.
Okay. I think it's a midfield issue, and here's why. If your defense is not being protected by the midfield, it's always going to be a 4-on, maybe a 4-on-4 or maybe a 5-on-4 coming at you from half, full speed. What do? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think defending, to me, I've always said this, is just as easy as saying it's the back four.
Right.
I think it's, you know, of course, when you have, you know, world-class defenders in your back line, yes, absolutely. It's going to, you know, help your defensive, you know, output, right? Or, you know, we get that. But the mindset, and it's, you know, especially today's game, everybody's defending, everybody is attacking. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, a midfield block. But I just think it's total team defending. And at Arsenal, never mind the lack of, you know, quality in the back line, but it has to come down to, you know, mentality and what the manager in this point, and if we give it Unai Emery a lot of credit for, you know, attacking prowess and change, well, he's got to deserve a bit of, like, slack and you know, grief, if you will, for their lack of defensive bite. You know, like, again, I don't understand the substitutions, right? I should tell you the truth. Maybe that had to do with, you know.
Well, he's trying
conceding,
to
kill, like,
he's trying to kill off the game 60 minutes in. There's still 30 minutes to go, and now we're taking off offensive players to hold what we have. And you can't play like that in the EPL for 30 minutes. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
I don't think you can play like that anywhere, Reggie. I mean, I say this every week. You know, it used to be, oh, Serie A, you know, you get a 1-0 lead. That's gone. I mean, if you've, anybody watches Serie A now, I mean, you just had Juventus and Napoli 3-0, and it's changed. Roma up 2-0, 3-0. Every week is different. So I think it's a world football thing. Right. I think the game has become too, and for a good, you know, for the better, faster, more offensively minded in general. You know, killing off a game 30 minutes to go is, as we know, the most dangerous thing we can happen. Juventus played
2-0 lead.
Right. And we just saw it in Champions League yesterday. Juventus and Atletico Madrid. This is Juventus. You know, we're thinking, oh, a traditional Italian team, 2-0 lead, it's over. No, not even close.
Yeah.
You know, Atletico comes back and it's 2-2. Like, there's, you know, it's not, I don't see it. I think that when I am right there, you know, again, just reading and seeing the highlights, I don't know. Like, I put that in question. You know, like, it was always going to be a difficult game because, you know, we said Watford, you know, trying to impress new manager, all that stuff. But you had the foot on the gas. You had the chokehold. You know, you just have to keep choking. Like, I mean, you 2-0 up, and you know, you should be going for the jugular even more to kill the game off because, you know, 2-goal leads we know are dangerous, but they're especially dangerous early on in the game.
Right. And one of the players even came out and said in the second half they played scared. And that's your captain that came out and said that. So I don't know. And there's a lot of we're at that point now. And I know we always say it's early. And we're at that point where it's going to be Unai Emery out. I don't think we're there yet.
But yeah. I don't know if he's out, Reg. I just think it's the same thing. In the EPL, yes, every game is tough and every team is tough, and there are no gimmies in the EPL. There's no, you know, and there's no gimmies anywhere, but obviously now we're talking about the Premier League. But, you know, it's a long season, and Arsenal's expectation, like, their dream season, dreamland, you know, would be to win the EPL. That's dreamland, Reg. I know you're a supporter, but I think you could yeah, no, you could agree that. right? Like, you can agree that coming into the season, it would be dreamland to win.
Oh, it's beyond. When I don't know what's beyond dreamland, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this result against Watford has to be looked at in a big picture thing. You know, like, it's a big picture. Watford is not the team that, like, they're not the team that is in the standings. There, many people thought they'd be challenging, like, Everton, you know, and that group.
Yeah, seventh, eighth, around there, right?
Of course. You know, Wolves, who, you know, they're, you want to talk about trouble, like, wow, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, in the hot seat. Nuno, I think, is in the hot seat. I just don't get it. Like, you know, again, you disappointed our Gunners fans because you were up 2-0. I totally get that, right? I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you told me this game was going to be a draw at the beginning, I'd say, yeah, that's pretty, you know, it's not a horrible result. I think it's a bad result, or at least a bad taste in Gunners fans' mouths.
Because we were winning.
As you are, and Fredders, because you were winning. And you're constantly... There's no problem in attack for Arsenal. There is no problem with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. There is no problem with now Nicolas Pepe and Ceballos and these players that are helping you go literally forward, like, offensively. Mm-hmm. It's the same old thing with Arsenal. Where is that defensive bite? Not from a player, from a team standpoint. And that's what it is for me, Reg. I don't know. You follow this team inside out. But as a neutral, that's how I look at Arsenal.
Well, there's no, like you said, there's no problem going forward. And it's the
zero.
For me, it's the transition from obviously attack to defense, but that attack starts with the guys in the midfield. And we're always outnumbered in the midfield because we play a three midfield. I don't know if when our two wingbacks get back into the team, if they're going to go five across, but they got to do something.
I'm going to take Man City and Liverpool as, again, an example. And we've said this, and I know it bugs us to say, they do stand out for me. But you look at, never mind what they do offensively, but they're defending from higher up in the field. And what their attackers do defensively and dirty work, whether it be, you know, well, I think Liverpool's guys are even better at that than City's. But as a collective, I mean, Bobby Firmino and Mane and how they press and how they're working. And their front six, right? I think if you compare, and same with City, it goes without saying. And they're so connected and cohesive. I think, yeah, Reg, you should point the fingers at your front six players and that. And I don't just think it's the midfield, Reg. I think it's your attackers too. That, you know, are they dropping in, getting into spaces and good defensive spaces? Are they preventing counters or whatever it might be? Like, I know, not to be, you know, talking tactically, tactical overkill, but is that mentality there? Is it being instilled in them? Because it can't just be back four. It cannot be.
It's not.
And defending is, if goal scoring is the culmination in the opponent's box and you have finishers, well then defending, the culmination is, okay, sure, yeah, good solid back four, but it's because everything else is being taken care of.
Right.
And that's, you're right. I think that's Arsenal's issue. It's team defending.
I believe so too. Like we said, and we're not going to beat a dead horse. You can't just put the defending on the four at the back. It's
no. Now, would you take Virgil van Dijk and would it transform you? Yeah, because Virgil van Dijk is not just doing his defending. He is leading the line. He is communicating with what's in front of him. He's a leader. He's quarterbacking the defensive unit. Would you take a Koulibaly? Of course. You take center backs that are, you know, and especially if you coupled one of those two guys with a guy like Socrates, like, it's, you know, it does change them. Of course it does. Mm-hmm. So I think that is, again, this is a process. And Unai Emery started this process. Has it been a year? It's barely been a year. It's been just a year. So, you know, let's give him some time. You know, Pep Guardiola did not win the Premier League his first year.
It took Klopp 3 or 4 seasons to get it to what it is okay. now, right?
And those two managers are the two, probably, if not the two best managers in world football right now. They're pretty damn close. I mean, consensus says they are, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, again, not to appease our Gunners and stuff, but, you know, Unai Emery needs some time and he needs a chance to impart, you know, always. The good thing for Arsenal is that Chelsea is so up and down. The good thing for Arsenal is that although Tottenham's finding a little bit of ground, right, Reg, They're not running away. How many points does Arsenal have right now? Eight?
Eight. Yeah, they only have one loss. So,
you know, you're 2 out. If you're a gunner, you're 2 out of second place. You're 2 points away from second. Like, you know, it's big picture stuff here is what I'm saying.
I'm glad you're here to bring everybody in off the ledge.
I really believe it. And again, I know that maybe I'll put you, but I don't think Gunners fans are going to be like, this is not to say that City and Liverpool are in a land on their own is fine, because at the beginning of the season, if you, like I said, Arsenal need to get back in Champions. That's it. If they get back in a Champions League.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they were in a Europa League final last year. Like,
well, let's not bring that back up.
No, but, you know, I mean, I just don't think it's that doom and gloom to go to Watford and tie. It's doom and gloom because of it, your 2-0.
Well, yeah, that's what most fans are looking at. It's not that the fact that we went to Vicarage Road and tied them, which is whatever. It's an away game in the EPL. It's the fact that you were up 2-0 and you came out in the second half so negative and made so many errors and trying to play it out the back and getting caught. We gave them a goal and then we gave them a penalty shot. And that's
of course.
That's why most fans are like, this is the same as Wenger. But I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. But again, like we said, Klopp took Klopp 3 or 4 seasons to get Liverpool to where they are. A couple of a lot of money to get to where they are right now. So I'll give him another season and a half to see what he can do. But I mean, it just doesn't look like there's much progress. And I know we've talked about Liverpool and Man City, but City went up to Norwich this week. And
yeah, there's your wow.
That's a banana peel, right?
More
than a banana peel.
That's a oil slick. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, the tactical breakdown for that game is Norwich actually played to break their lines, and they did a very good job of it.
Incredible, actually. I mean, we've all seen the clip. Probably it was circling on social media where, you know, we talk about the Man City press, but there's Norwich playing right out of it.
Yeah.
Again, German manager, you know, very respectful of Pep and, you know, like a student of Pep and Klopp and whatever. But, you know, that was great. Like, it's great to see that. It's great to see. But that's modern football. Everybody is playing out the back. Everybody's trying to. And, you know, again, is there a time to, you know, be a little less pretty? Of course, for sure. But you also got to give Norwich a lot of credit for, you know, what's one of the buzzwords we say on this pod for years now? Identity. They're sticking to their identity and so on. So, you know, they are who they are and good for them. But again, as a neutral, what a match to just watch. Like, that's the EPL in a nutshell. You know, this is what modern football has become, and it's great.
And if anybody gets the chance to watch that clip, I think I saw it on Twitter. If you get to, I watched the game too, but if you get to watch, just watch the movement of the players. The players on Norwich never stopped moving, because you have the way that Man City and Liverpool press, you can't make a pass and stand. You have to get into the next spot. And then the next player, the other guy in the triangle has to get into a spot where he can receive the ball. And then the next guy has to get into a spot where he can receive the ball. It's a lot of running and movement off the ball. So if you're a youth player, wanting to know how these guys were able to pass through this incredible press by Man City, just watch the clip and watch the movement off the ball, because that's the key to all this passing. Passing doesn't work if you're not moving off the ball. Anyways,
you're right, and it's true, and it's nice to see not just the quote unquote bigger teams go. Yeah. You know, so that was good. Good to see Norwich back in the, you know, in the EPL. It's such what a great club. Like, again, another in the long line of just really well-supported English clubs and clubs in general. But, you know, obviously we're dealing with EPL. Good story.
For sure.
Instantly that the race becomes, wow. You know, like a 3-2 loss to Norwich is unbelievable.
And you know? I think it's lucky that it came early, because they can make up the points. I can't see Liverpool going undefeated. So
I think this is the year that you know, obviously Man City did not, right. You know, but I think you're right, Reggie. I think this is the year where there is, you know, and I think because Liverpool has won, they won the Champions League, there's that less pressure to, you know, the trophy. We need a trophy. Exactly. You know,
yeah.
I think you're right. I think this will be the year where there will be, you know, I do see like a, you know, Tottenham or Arsenal or my God, even United, but Chelsea or somebody beating these teams, and it's going to be that 3 or 4 loss season that wins the league, right? So.
Yeah, I believe so too. In other
sports, now you had mentioned the banana peel, Reg. let's say, and we were arguing about this, was Liverpool's loss to
Napoli.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, a slip up for
are we,
sure.
Are we going to talk about Champions League?
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about it because we just talked about thing. I mean, right. Again, you were saying slip up because I mean they lost. It is. Sure, and I was arguing. Well, slip up because I mean. You know, and Klopp came out and said too, right? He said Napoli could go to win this, they could win the Champions League. And I think we're both saying the same thing, is that, you know, a team like Liverpool expects to win every match they play, for sure. And I know that, you know, you were being, hey, if they're that good, I get you. I just think, Reggie, I think I was talking to somebody today, a huge Napoli fan who would agree. But, you know, this Napoli team in the second year under Ancelotti, so your team is in the second year of manager too, but right. You're obviously in a different boat. But, you know, they get it. It's like, oh, okay, right? And you got these players buying in, playing very, very well. And, you know, I think Erling Lozano was a great signing, by the way.
Right. Even Llorente is there now too.
You know, scores the clincher on a bad giveaway. But, you know, I think – okay, with all that, and again, Napoli did beat Liverpool last year in Champions League, and Liverpool would say, well, but we won the league, Champions League, so yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the match is, like, this is, I agree, I think Liverpool, I mean, I think Napoli could be in the final four of Champions League. They're that good. I believe that.
Well-drilled, well-organized, and they have the players, they have the players to put the ball in that now, right?
Yeah, and some great attacking play. I mean, what a fantastic move they had. Dries Mertens was on the end of it. And, of course, Adrian, what a save. Like, he's done some wonders. But I will say in that game, I don't think that Reggie, that's not a pen for me.
Did it go to VAR?
I don't even think it went. Or maybe it did and they didn't turn it over. Like, that is not a pen for me, Reggie. Callejon, he's falling before. It's a soft pen, and I know Liverpool fans are saying, yes, you're
right. Is that something that VAR can take a look at if he's already falling? I don't think it is.
Right, but it's again, like, if we can all agree that here's VAR again, like, what the hell are we doing with this?
It's
I don't know, man. Like, that's a questionable pen at best. Like, oof.
From one league to another, the interpretation of this VAR is totally
so
different.
Silly.
It's totally different.
It's ridiculous.
And it should be uniform across all leagues. But in one league, they're looking at it for this. Another league, they're looking at it for that. It's absolutely terrible.
It's absolutely terrible. I agree. There's no consensus. We can't get this right. But, you know, I think Napoli, sure, played well enough to win, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they did, I mean, yes, I know I'm not trying to, you know, represent Logan on this show. Mm-hmm. But it's true. If you're a Liverpool fan, you're 100% saying that's a, like, not even a fan. Never mind. I'm a neutral saying, oh, boy. Like, that is a tough one, you know? So, but, I mean, as you know, Reg, I think you said this, every team now has to live with this, that they are going to be, like, I'm sure it's part of the mentality and approach part and the mindset coaching that clubs probably say to players. And it's like, okay, you have to be able to move on from a VAR decision.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing that.
Do you agree? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're seeing that more with goals. There was a goal scored yesterday, I believe it was the kid that scored the hat trick, the 18-year-old that scored the hat trick. What's he, Standard Liège? I can't remember what team he plays for.
Yeah, but it was.
But he scored his third goal, and it was kind of close. You know, it was close if he was onside or offside. But he turns around to his teammates that are running at him, and he's like, calm down. We have to wait to see if it's a goal or not. And it takes, like I said before, it takes away a little bit of the spontaneity and the drama, and it will add more drama, but it takes away from the natural reaction that fans have and even players have when they score a major goal in a game. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it should be used I'm not going to get into it. Sorry. I'm not going to get into VAR again. We did this. I told everybody it's going to be a disaster. It's a disaster. And I'm just going to sit here and you know, count my money. I don't know. But, I mean, even in the MLS, they're using, did you watch the TFC game the past week?
I did. And
the penalty the penalty shot went to VAR. It's 3 minutes to look at that. Why?
Oh my God. And then they said, they were looking at it to see if it was a red. Like, oh God, it was just. And to tell you the truth, I think, and I love Jozy Altidore, but I think he should have been sent off
for all that tackle.
Barreled into yeah. You know, the same player. I'm like, what the heck is that? Like? I'm like, please don't go. And again, as a fan, you're going, oh, don't go. But yeah, if you're, but Joel, you know, it's happening to you.
I've played that position, and guys just. They take liberties with you up there. They're hacking you, elbowing you, and finally you get a chance to take someone out. You take it. I know it sounds bad to say, but
no, I agree. It's the competitive nature. If you do take someone out, yeah. It's a red card.
I understand.
I believe that he should have been sent off.
I understand. You know, but I think again, there's something in the back of a referee's mind saying, you know, why you've been getting clattered all game, and I understand your frustration.
Yeah, fair enough. Here's a yard.
But don't do it again.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But I'm glad he didn't get a red. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
No, but,
Well, let's get back to Champions League then. Sorry, cool. I know I took you off of to TFC, but...
No, that's good enough. We've covered them now.
Well, Chelsea, Valencia, and Valencia's in a big mess with the players not talking to the media because they fired the coach, and there's a big mess in there, and they come into London and take it 1-0.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was like, and again, Ross Barkley missing a PK at the end.
Wow. And the drama there is that Willian wanted to take it, and Ross Barkley was, you know, they were having a little bit of a discussion about it, and Ross Barkley, I guess, ended up winning the discussion and promptly puts it over the net in the final, that's the final kick of the game, isn't it?
It was, yeah. Now, was Jorginho off, or was he out of this game, or?
I think he, I don't know if he came off. I don't think he's injured. So I don't know if he was playing or not, but I just caught the last little bit of the game. I saw the PK and it was horrible, but, I don't know when Ross Barkley started taking penalty shots, but anyways, I don't know. So they're down 1-0 in their league, in their group. One of the best games of this Champions League has been Dortmund and Barcelona, I believe, though. It's a 0-0 tie. But Dortmund...
Ter Stegen was incredible.
Dortmund could have won this game 4-0 easily if it wasn't for Ter Stegen.
Ter Stegen was incredible.
Saved the penalty, saved the rebound from the penalty, made a bunch of saves, and it was just... Barcelona didn't look like Barcelona. I know Messi didn't come on until... I don't know, 20 minutes left in the game, but still, even when he came in, and I know it's 20 minutes isn't a lot of time to get your foot on the ball and get into the game, but and you can tell that he hasn't played a competitive game for a while, but still, I'm not taking anything away from Dortmund, but Reg, Dortmund was incredible that night.
You know, Reggie, I think you said, so Barcelona did not look like Barcelona.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know, you know, and I, when I was watching it, I don't know if it's because of the age of their major players, and I know you're looking at, oh yeah, Griezmann, they got a 16-year-old kid, but the guys that are really going to make a difference, the Suarez, the Busquets, the Messis, these guys are getting up in age, you know what I mean? And I think it might be a toe, less than a half a step too fast for them now. Can I say that?
I don't know. I just think that they haven't had a chance to have their best lineup out there this year as well too, Rich. And well, I think
who are they missing?
Well, Messi, again, comes on after, not at his best yet from injury.
Right.
You know, same with Suarez, still coming back from injury.
Okay.
You know, Griezmann and those three not being able to gel is big. You know, Rakitic has been in and out of the lineup. You know, so I just think that's a big deal, too. I mean, and I think Barcelona's going to be fine.
In La Liga, but, they'll be fine.
Maybe
not so much in La Liga either with Atletico coming through. But
listen, as for as many problems as we might say Barcelona might have, which I don't think so, I can tell you Real Madrid's got a lot of problems.
Wow. What a game PSG put together, eh?
And Real Madrid put on a really good show too, like a terrible show. They were awful. I mean,
Thibaut Courtois. Wow. I'm not sure what has happened to Thibaut Courtois, and how ironic.
Underrated, maybe?
Yeah, like, I don't know if irony is the word, but Keylor Navas.
Yeah.
Goes to PSG.
Yeah.
Shuts him out. And again, I mean, you might have seen that image of him giving a little wink to Thibaut. I mean, you know, has it looked right? And this is PSG playing without Cavani and Mbappe.
Yeah, those two were out, and they still Angel Di Maria, Potsen too, and Neymar didn't play either. So I don't know. Neymar didn't play, right? He's suspended.
That's right.
Yeah. So the starting front three for PSG did not play, and they still beat them 3-0. It's worrying times. It's worrying times.
Scary. Yep.
And Zidane's job has to be under fire for his job as well.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know. Is he probably write his own check there, Reg?
You think so? With those guys? Those guys change coaches like that.
But it's Zidane.
Oh, I know. I know. But Capello was there. Did he get fired when he left there?
Yeah. I just think, though, Reg, he won 3 Champions League, though. Didn't he, Zidane? Wasn't he there for all of them?
But I believe, like, Perez is the president, correct?
Yeah, you're right. He's got George Steinbrenner, for sure. He's just a
quick trigger finger on managers that aren't producing. That's embarrassing. And I don't think these guys like to be embarrassed. So they're always looking for the next guy that's going to get them. They're notorious for not giving coaches a chance. And I know it's Zidane and what he's done for Real Madrid in the past. But, I mean, eventually you got to put results together, right?
They just don't look right, Reg. I mean, even I know Stevie Nichol, who I don't really like to do too much, but he was saying, like the defending was shocking. Rafael Varane, Rafael Varane, like he gets left out of the picture a lot. He's a fantastic center back. Mm-hmm. He has not looked like a fantastic center back this year. Mm-mm. Like they look ordinary. Danny Carvajal, like this Toni Kroos, go down the list. Like this is, you know, okay, they've had some good moments in La Liga too, but this is not what I expected. Like there's no way. So
where was Sergio Ramos? Hurt?
He was either hurt or suspended.
That hurts. That hurts as well. Not playing with your Varane
leader.
Well.
He's not the heart. Is he not? Partner, is he not? Right? Yeah, no doubt. And is he not the heart and soul of that team?
Well, he is. When I think of Real Madrid, Sergio Ramos. When I think of Real Madrid, and people are going to say all the great players that were played there, but I think of Sergio Ramos. That's the only place I've ever seen him.
Yeah, I really do. I equate Sergio Ramos, and again, I know people say, what do you mean? He's one more to listen. It's like Maldini at Milan.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good example.
That's what it was. And with all those great players, Kaká and Shevchenko and
Ronaldinho,
you know, Ronaldinho, the list go even before the three Dutchmen, like, of course, it's Paolo Maldini, right? Isn't it? I mean, so it's the one club man. You know, I know Ramos started somewhere else, but I'm just saying, like, you know, his best years were with
Real Madrid, right?
So
he's won everything. Yeah. Right? So.
Yeah. And, you know, Spain World Cup. So, and you're old, but I just, there's something not right, is there? And as Hazard looked at, listen, do they have enough quality to get through this? Of course. I mean, Big Ben's, Benzema's actually in good form.
Yeah.
Scoring goals. So
scoring goals. I think Bale got a goal taken away by VAR in the game as well.
Yeah, like he handled it a bit, but it was a great finish, to be fair. But I mean, other than that, there was no shots registered.
So since Ronaldo left, it's been barren.
Right?
You can say that, right?
You did.
You can agree, though, right?
Yeah, okay. Yes. I can agree. I mean, for their standards,
Yeah, for sure.
You know. I think we should touch a little bit. We did about Juve and Atletico.
Yeah.
Worldy by Cuadrado. Oof.
Yeah. First goal. Yeah, it was excellent goal.
Great goal. They go up 2-0. Blas Matuidi. Matuidi with a goal again, like great ball by Alexander, I believe. Okay, so they're up 2-0. But then, you know, this Juventus is really showing a lot of cracks and weaknesses in defending set pieces. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about this, right?
Chiellini, right?
Yeah, without Chiellini, and you know, I just don't know about zonal defending on set pieces.
You can't mark zone. I cannot.
I just don't buy it.
It's ridiculous. Arsenal did it for a couple of seasons, and it was every time there was a set piece, you would shake because, oh no, what's going to happen now? It's going to end up in the back of the net.
I just think it takes away the responsibility part. Like, well, everybody thinks
that's your zone. Yeah, he has a foot in your zone, so that's your guy. And it's terrible.
I don't like it. I think it's got to be a combination. And I know I talk about this with, you know, again, a guy who always follows us. He's such a great supporter of our show, retweets our stuff, amazing. Coach Anthony Vidori, I'm on soccer. You know, he always says, he goes, I try to use a combination. And I agree with that. If you're not going to use man marking on set pieces, at least the combination of. But to go full zone, I mean, look, it's at the highest level. And they get, so for those of you guys that know, it ends up 2-2 and a 90th minute header. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, Jimenez, wow, what a beast. Like, he creates one or both. Like, you know, offset pieces, and there it is. It's 2-2. So, again, if you're Juventus and you go into this match and you said, okay, you're going to get a draw in the Wanda Metropolitana, you know, and you'd say, okay, once again, though, how do we open the show? 2-0 versus you're up against Watford as an Arsenal fan. It's the same thing. You're like, damn, we were up 2-0. By the way, Ronaldo does a Ronaldo and his, you know, cuts in, you know, from the left
side,
right, two step overs, boom, at the 94th minute and almost hits the winner. So, I mean, he's just, if he scores that, Reg, we're having a different conversation, well, right?
Definitely talking about the game winner, right? The game player. And then comparisons between Messi and Ronaldo start all over again on Twitter, and, you know, here we are.
Like, instead of, let's just enjoy them. And yes, Ronaldo right now is at a different clip, and, you know, Messi will get back to his good, and let's just enjoy it. Like, I say that all the time. Like, that's, you know, what an amazing time to have these two guys driven by each other. You know, it reminds me of Magic and Bird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like Ronaldo's Magic and Messi's Bird,
right?
Who's like, doesn't say much,
and they're just going at it with each other.
Yeah, and they drive each other, and there's no doubt that they do. And maybe Ronaldo openly says it, right? And Magic openly would say it. Yep. You know, and I think this is what I think of. You know, and you know, me and you have an affinity for 80s basketball,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is what I see. I see, like, these two guys that are very different, but so similar in the fact that they are they're committed to excellence.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's amazing. Like, you know, Ronaldo could have had a match winner there. He's just that good. Yeah. You know,
well, you can never turn your head when he has the ball or he has a chance, right? So
he just turns that switch, doesn't he, Reg? Yeah, so they both do.
It's incredible, actually. It's incredible to
actually. It really is. Yeah, for
able,
sure.
To be able to look at a game and say, you know what, I'm going to take this by the scruff of the neck, and this is what I'm going to do. Just follow me, right?
So. Yeah, that's it. And that's why I use the comparison of those two guys. You know, they push each other, and let's see what they go. And, you know, I'd still love to see them in another final against each other, whether it be club, country, or both. I mean, amazing. So, yeah
for sure.
Did we get all of it? Did we get everything, Reg? I know people get us all. Oh, you didn't talk about this. We can't talk about everything, guys. We try our best.
Well, I just wanted to round off the rest of the scores in the Champions League. We had, we talked about Barcelona Dortmund. That finished 0-0. Ajax smashes Lille 3-0. Tottenham ties Olympiacos 2-2, and they were up 2-0 as well. So lots of twos this weekend, and coming back to get tied. I don't know. I don't know if it's just a thing. 2-0. They always say 2-0 is the worst score in soccer, right? So
yeah.
Proven this week in Champions League and in the EPL and in different leagues. AC Milan played this past weekend. How did they fare?
Oh, that was disgusting. So they played against Verona. AC Milan is in a bad spot.
Oh, Joe, come on. So, you're too tough on your squad, man.
No. I mean, if you watch the game, and Milan fans will say, yeah, no, he's bang on. We're going into the derby this weekend against Inter, who are flying high in Serie A.
3-0.
Okay. You know, yes, dropped a point. Couple of points in their, I guess, Slavia Prague in champions, but I don't think that that matters. I think Inter is really focused on the league. It's Derby Day. It's the Derby della Madonnina, Reg. Okay, big one.
Yeah.
On Saturday at 2:45.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but Milan plays Verona, and wow. So Verona goes down to 10 men, 15 minutes in or 20 minutes in, and it was probably the worst thing that could happen to the game as a spectacle and to Milan. Awful, awful.
Okay.
It took a Christoph Piontek PK to unlock it.
Yes. But does it matter how you win?
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's what Donnarumma said as well. You know, and some of the players said, you know what? These are games we would have lost last year. So Marco Giampaolo, you know, still doing his work. Ante Rebic makes his appearance in this game. And yes, well, people say, oh, he missed a sitter. You know, Reggie, he's around already. His energy and his, I would say energy, yeah. He already brought something to the table. He actually changed the complexity of the game.
Yeah.
And you could tell this is a good signing for them. So I was happy to that. That was, for me, the only bright spot. At the end of the game, it was almost a penalty shot. Milan get a red card, David Calabria. So anyway, ugly 1-0 win. They're going into the derby, and we shall see. Torino had a chance to go top, Reg.
Oh, yeah.
Joint top and lost at home to Lecce. Newly promoted Lecce.
Really?
Yeah, so there you go. Juventus obviously tied Fiorentina, but, you know, always a tough place for Juventus to go play. And there's Franck Ribéry starting and playing for Fiorentina.
Oh, well, he was in the team of the week, I believe.
I believe so, yeah, he was. So that's that. The derby's the big news this week, obviously, Reg. Juventus plays Verona, so you would peg them to, you know, right their ship a little bit. I mean, not that they're struggling, but, you know, get things going there.
Mm-hmm.
Inter and Milan, oof. I mean, if you're a betting man, you're betting with Inter, you know. But we'll see.
Well, I watched a little bit of Inter's game last week just to see. I wanted to see Sanchez and Lukaku, how they were adapting to the league. And Inter's press is incredible as well. I know it's Conte bringing in that press, and as soon as they lose the ball, they're snapping at your ankles to get it back. And once they get it back, they're flowing forward. So I don't know. People are always saying that, people are saying on Twitter that, hey, you know what? This might be the year that Juventus gets usurped from the Scudetto this year.
Well, you know, Reggie, I think it's Napoli or Inter that are chomping the bit, but I don't think Juventus really. I think Juventus really wants that Champions League, Reg.
Then that's I really believe for, it. Right? They'll sacrifice I really the league for the it. Champions League.
Yeah, I really believe it, and I can see Inter and Napoli for sure. I can see that, but I think Juventus just needs to figure that out with Champions League. I just don't know. I don't know, Reggie. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I just don't. I think sorry at Juve. I still don't see it.
No way.
Listen, I'm just saying, let's just monitor that. And let's roll the tape in a couple of months and let's see what happens.
Okay, so let me ask you a question then, if you don't believe it, sorry. If Allegri is coaching this team in...
I think they're in the same boat.
Well, I mean, no. I'm gonna actually put you in a specific game. If they're playing Atletico Madrid, the same game that they played this past week in Champions League, is the result different, you think? You think it's that the tactics are that much different?
Yeah, that's exactly, Reg. I don't know. Like, okay, Sarri is supposed to, from what we've heard, this is all speculation and journalists, he comes in because not only did they want to win, which they were doing, but they wanted to, you know, when you're at the top, you're always looking, and that's Agnelli's thing, the president, is that he's always looking to, you know, push and strive. And that's what, you know, Pirlo talked about in his book, and people say, you know, that's the thing about Juventus. They're always looking to, they want more, and that's great. Right? That's what strives, pushes them forward. But you have to say, and many people are saying in the Italian media and journalists saying, well, you know, Sarri was brought in because Juventus wanted to not only win, which they were doing, and continue that winning tradition, but to also play a more attractive brand of football. Did you see? I don't see anything different yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that Sarri is one of those mad geniuses, right? No, that wants to play his style. But Reggie, did you see anything that's different? Like, did that Juventus look different to you than they did last year?
Well, that's That's kind of what I'm saying. No,
they right? don't. And still very strong, Reg. Don't get me wrong.
Well, how much can you tinker with a team like that, though?
And why would you?
Well, exactly.
Right? And when you look at Chelsea, when he took over Chelsea, you saw the sorry ball, right? And this, I just don't know. Like, I think, listen, when you can transition like you can with Cristiano Ronaldo, I think you got to keep that. You have to focus around Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, it doesn't matter how many players you bring in.
Right.
You know, just like any Barcelona team is going to still focus around Messi, even though they might have this champion, that guy. So I just don't know. I'm just speculating. I just don't see something. Hey, listen, sorry to turn this around when Champions League. Let's get that straight. I think I can see that happening too.
If he wins the Champions League, he's a god there, right?
Of course. But I could also see him saying, I'm done with this. And you know what? I need a break. That's where I see this from. So we'll see, Reg.
Really? just pack up and take off?
You know what?
And then Allegri comes back?
He's that type of guy.
Mm-hmm. So. Wow. Well, it's an exciting...
I don't know why I still see Zizou coming back to the Juventus, Rich. I don't know why.
Well, I'm telling you, he's not... I don't think he's long for Real Madrid if this keeps up.
You know, I just don't see... And do you not see this? You know, Agnelli saying, hey, you know what? And Nedved saying, you know what? Ronaldo won the Champions League with Zidane.
Let's bring him
Zidane
in.
Zidane is a Juventus legend as well.
Well, he's a legend. Like, I don't know. Legend everywhere he goes. Every team he's played for, he's a legend.
There, so. And he's, you know... We should never forget how good of a player Zidane was.
That's top five for me in lifetime.
I think that that's top five. I think that's a pretty legitimate one for me. Yeah, too. He's fantastic.
Top five, big feet, but he was so smooth and so light on them. He was incredible to watch. If you haven't seen anything as Zidane, just go on YouTube and be amazed.
Shouldn't be able to play that well with that build.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's that slick.
It's tough for us bigger guys. You know, when we're out there and we're looking really, really, really good. You know, guys like me.
I have no idea what that means to be really, really big, or good. So,
Joe, you're too hard on yourself. Come on. Well, that's an exciting week of Champions League. Europa League started today. We won't talk about that. Arsenal won, but we're not going to talk about that. EPL's looking pretty exciting this weekend as well. Not sure where Liverpool's playing, but I'm sure we'll be keeping an eye on that for sure. And of course, 2:45 on Saturday, we're looking at the derby. Help me, Joe.
De la Madonnina.
For sure. Between Inter Milan and
Chelsea's got, I mean, doesn't Arsenal have a big game this week?
We play Villa, I believe, at the Emirates on Sunday. So again, it should be well, I'm not even going to say it, forget it. It should be a good game.
I think we're missing a big matchup in EPL, Reg.
Are we? It's not the city. It's not United City, is it?
No, Reg, we got to get this right.
Hold on. Let me check here.
I got it.
What is it?
It's not. Oh, Reggie.
Oh, what?
Oh, come on, man. What? It's Chelsea Liverpool. Come on, man.
Is that really a big game?
It is a big game. It's the biggest game of the weekend.
Liverpool smashes them. Prediction 3-0 Liverpool.
It's the biggest game of the weekend, Reg.
Liverpool stung by the loss in Champions League. People in Chelsea wondering what's going on because they lost to a Valencia team.
Yeah, I would be worried if I was a Blues fan, for sure. Exactly. Chelsea is in trouble this week.
I think Liverpool comes out flying and that game's over by the time they're drinking tea at halftime. So,
yeah, Liverpool will come out flying in that one. I totally agree.
I think so too. So where's that game? That game is at, what's got to be at Liverpool, at Anfield?
It is at the Bridge.
Oh, it's at the Bridge?
Yep, Stamford Bridge.
Where did Liverpool play last week? I thought Liverpool played away last week. Anyways, all right. So they played
Newcastle, didn't they? They were at home.
Oh, yeah, they were at home. That's right. Oh, Newcastle almost gave them a little bit of a scare, too.
Early goal, yeah.
But again, that press and the quality that they have, it's just they shut that down really quick and ended up winning, I think, 3-1. So
yes, right.
Good on them. But it's going to be an exciting weekend full of football again. Can't wait. Can't wait. So I know what you're looking forward to, Joe. The Inter versus AC.
And actually, well, I'm not looking forward to it.
So am I. Well, well, you never know, Joe. Come on. Where is the game? Oh, the game. They share a field. Yeah, they share a stadium. That's the only thing. It's not an away game, right?
Oh, geez. This is going to be painful. It'll be all bad anyway.
Yeah.
Let's just... Oh.
Joe, come anyway. On. Hope for the best, please.
Oh, with AC Milan, you do hope for the best.
For sure, for sure. So,
but
guys,
you just... Anyway.
So, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.